All right. Thanks very much, Doma Tipango. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks very much for tuning in on this blustery, icy Wednesday afternoon. It's was, I know, rough for a lot of you. It was an odd storm because if you were north of the downtown area, or really maybe even just the city, it was almost nothing. And then anywhere else, man, what a morning this morning was. Terry Savage is on a phone line. We'll talk to her in just a second. A little bit later in the program, we'll talk to Rosa Escareno. She's the commissioner of the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protections for Chicago about setting up a small business in the city. What do you need to do? What do you need to avoid? What sort of mistakes? Frank Sennett in between, and we're going to talk about Knopf Knopf Grill. So we'll go to lunch with Frank in a few minutes. Right now, hello, Terry Savage. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Always glad to be with you. I think the word of the day might be inflation.
Well, tell me about that. Why is the word of the day inflation?
Because the markets are telling you something about that we aren't seeing quite yet in the CPI statistics, but economic growth has picked up around the world. We're seeing signs of incipient inflation. Gold just touched a new four-month high. It's at $1,352 an ounce, which market technicians will tell you, if it closes at this level today, will be a significant trend reversal. Oil has made its high since, I think, in the fall of 2014, at well over $65 a barrel. And interest rates, the 10-year Treasury, creeping up today at 2.65%. So what you're seeing is forecast of economic strength, and also along with it, some questions about the value of the dollar, which has been slipping, and that leads to inflation. And the first place you're going to see it is in imported washing machines.
I want to get to that, but you know, Jamie Dimon gave an interview with CNBC's in Davos, and he talked about how the tax cuts are going to lead to an economic boom this year. He says we're going to see, or could see, 4% growth at one point during the year. And he made the point. He said, look, a year from now, you're going to be asking me about worries about inflation and wages increasing too quickly because things are going to go so well. And maybe you just touched on that a little bit, but what do you make of that?
Well, I think he's absolutely right. I think that, well, first, we know unemployment is low. We know jobs are tight. I really think that where it will, the word inflation, as we talk about rising prices, will show up next in wages. And this illustrates a really important perspective for people, because you have to draw a line. On the one side, you put politics or Washington, and it strikes me that the more odious that becomes, the contrast is stark on the other side of the line, where you get the results of the economy and of the stock market, which is based on earnings of businesses, and both of those are showing tremendous strength. So you've seen, you know, both the S&P and Dow make new highs, all-time highs yesterday, off a little bit this morning. So the interesting thing is that you have to be able to be a successful investor here to separate whatever your personal feelings are about what's going on in Washington from the realities that history shows. And the actions taken by many major corporations already show that the tax cuts and the repatriation of money from abroad could lead to strong economic growth.
Let me put that in plainer language. Even though you maybe can't stand Donald Trump, you have to give him credit, or say, at least admit that the economy is doing very well.
I'm not giving him credit, but I like the first part. Even though you cannot stand Donald Trump and Congress, both political parties, you have to acknowledge that history says that when you return money that belongs to business in such a way, it will eventually flow either maybe into dividends, maybe into salary boosts for the CEOs, but a lot of it, as we're seeing, into wage increases for employees and new investments in plant and equipment, and that just tends to breed economic growth.
We talked just briefly on the phone, and you said you wanted to mention something about the deficit.
Oh, well, you know, the big topic this morning is that certain states, not only
so that's why I'm asking you, and I asked you in a weird way, because I hadn't seen this story about several states trying to get around the cap on the writing off your state or property taxes, and the article I'm looking at does include Illinois, or Illinois might be part of this, Terry, so go ahead.
Well, we haven't had any headlines here, but in actuality, in California, in New York, New Jersey, and Maryland. Those are all kind of what we call blue states, states that have financed themselves on high state income taxes, and in the case of New York City, local income taxes as well. And they got away with that. Let's put it in quotes, got away with that. By at least people knew, well, it's a deduction on my federal tax return. Now, I don't care who you are, $10,000 is your maximum deduction. And states are really getting upset because they're having their state residents say, hey, cut taxes because, well, we can't, you know, we can't deduct these taxes. This is outrageous. And as a result, some states are coming up with plans to create charitable trusts so that you deduct $10,000 of state income taxes and the rest of your tax bill you contribute to an education trust, which would be a deductible charity. In fact, you know that the tax accountants and lawyers always come up with creative ideas
right.
for rich people.
Right. Okay.
And this is what they're doing now.
So,
haven't heard of it in Illinois.
Okay. So what you're saying is that, well, let's say California. California, you know, let's say the person pays $15,000 in income taxes. He can write off 10. And you're saying that they're going to set up a mechanism to where for the other five, the payment would go not to the state of California, but to an education trust that is
something like that, that
quote unquote charitable, and then the state still gets the money to spend on education.
Exactly.
Wow.
And everybody, you know, the federal government's in a tizzy saying, oh my God, we can't let the states do that. If they do that, it costs us billions, hundreds of billions, in $150 billion is the headline number on CNBC, in revenues, because they gave us, quote, gave us a more generous $12,000 personal deduction, but they also took away the real estate and the combined real estate and state income tax deduction.
I love that. Now, because you correct me, but it seems to me like that cap was the most political thing in this whole tax thing, because it was a Republican Congress, Republican president, and they went after Democratic states with that with that cap. Because that's what it did. It affected Democratic states.
Right, the ones that are most likely to be financing themselves, like the state of Illinois, with a tax increase. Now, and I'm thinking back to the debate, even the most far-right conservative candidate on the Republican side, but challenging Bruce Rauner, Amy, said, well, had to concede that the income tax has to stay. I mean, the increased income tax that we have now has to stay. So the point is, there's no look at tax relief for Illinois residents in terms of a tax cut, even though we may get economic growth at the federal level and prove tax cuts work. Maybe we won't, but the fact is we're stuck with high taxes, and now those taxes won't be deductible. The question is when. That's not just for rich people, you know. I mean, really rich people. There are a lot of working people who pay property taxes. We rely on that in Illinois a lot, and that's how we fund our schools and pay state income taxes, and some of those people are going to lose a good portion of their deduction.
That's Terry Savage.
That's where you get a tax revolt.
All right, so that's Terry Savage. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to touch on a couple things with Terry. One, maybe quickly, the new possibilities at TurboTax. We'll see if we get to that. But the other is how 529 education plans are a little more attractive given the tax cut plan. It's 12:22. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, Terry is talking about Wall Street and the Dow now, after being up, I think it was 140 or more earlier today, is down 100 points. So we're going in the wrong direction there, Terry. Just heard John Williams.
Wait, before you do that.
Yeah, I want to do it too.
Did you hear the John Williams promo?
That's what I'm trying to say. Right. So, and you just went out and bought a washer yesterday?
Right. Now, wait. Well, let me tell you the truth, because all those people that are gnashing their teeth over, how could Terry support tax cuts? You know, I think people really respond to incentives, and businesses do too. So if you cut taxes, I believe people work harder, they have a greater incentive to work, and all that kind of economic stuff. And I think you see it one by one, and one by one adds up. So yesterday morning, I woke up, and I read the headlines, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm online. I couldn't believe it. The president slapped a tariff on solar panels, which I'm not in the market for, and high-end washing machines, you know, clothes washing machines. And I was reading that, and I went, my washer and dryer are, let me count backwards, oh, my gosh, 25 years old. I'm coming due. I know I'm coming due for another washer and dryer. And I want you to know, I went out and bought a new washer and dryer yesterday, which was on sale. It happened to be Samsung. It was, you know, the new big washers. I don't buy the biggest ones because you can't reach the bottom if you're a little person like me. I mean, you can't reach into the kitchen.
I just had a very
really
funny picture in my mind.
Dryer, and I don't bought a washer in 25 years. I don't want one of these new big ones that'll do everything all at once. But anyway, and it was on sale, you know, it was $10 off, and the washer and the dryer, whatever it was. And I am fully betting that within 2 or 3 months, those washer and dryer combos are going to be $80, $90 higher. The tariff could be as much as 50%. Now that's a wholesale cost being brought in. Now, so here's the thing. Okay, I had to pay more for a washer-dryer. I think I'm a wise guy. I acted on the fact that my best interest was to buy it now. The interesting thing is every other American consumer of anything that has a tariff put on it, I'd love to talk to John Williams about that, is going to pay more. When you pay more for stuff, rising prices, you look around and you say, oh, my God, consumer prices are going up. That's inflation. And that's what tariffs do. Americans have benefited so much from cheap imports. You want to block those cheap imports out? I know you're all going to think about this. Oh, no, we got to protect America. But if they do it better and cheaper, why shouldn't we give our citizens the benefit of lower prices and do something better with our own talent?
I think that's one of the things that was often overlooked when people talked about that was we were benefit from it every time we went to Walmart or Target or visited the Maytag men. All right, now we just got a couple minutes left. Tell me why 529 plans are looking a little sexier now after the tax cut.
A new column up at terrysavage.com. But 529 plans, as you know, allow money to grow tax-free for college expenses. And part of the reason they're more attractive now is when you get a state tax deduction, like you do in Illinois. And by the way, of course, they revised the Illinois plan, giving you better choices, lower fees. So Bright Start Savings is a good place for Illinois residents because you can lower those Illinois taxes. Helps you more now that you may be over the deductible limit. And they added a feature so interesting. You can now use money in them for private high school K through 12 education. You're not penalized for that, so you don't have to use a Coverdell. So all the more reason to put money away for college in a 529 plan.
All right, we'll follow that. And very quickly then, you know, we talked a little bit last week about TurboTax, where they now have access to a live advisor. You have to spend up. I think it's like $140. But I started doing my taxes, and based on your column, I spent up. I bought that advice. Was that a good thing to do?
Yes, it is. TurboTaxLive.com. Because, I mean, what's the price of peace of mind? You can do it on your own online and just get the regular TurboTax and do it online. But here you've got a real CFP or enrolled agent, and you could say, here, share my screen. You allow them into your screen. They can't see if you're sitting there in your pajamas. And you could say, I'm really stuck here. Is this deductible? Is that a business expense, et cetera, et cetera? And they will give you advice and stand behind the return and even file it for you. Let me know when you finish. You're going to have them give you a review of your whole tax return, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do enjoy doing my taxes. It's a weird thing because of my outside income with the travel business, I usually have to pay, but I still enjoy doing the taxes. So I'll keep you posted on that.
You're the only one I know.
Terry
and
Savage.
The Savage Truth.
Read more about the Savage Truth at terrysavage.com. All right. Great to talk to you. We'll do it again next week.
You bet.
Thank you very much, Doma T. Pongo. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. A little bit later in the program, we'll talk to Rosa Escareno. She's the commissioner at the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protections for Chicago. Kim Gordon did a series a few months ago on small businesses, and she says that it's amazing. One of the things she picked up on is just how much help is out there from the city of Chicago, from the government, something that a lot of people aren't aware of. So we'll talk to Rosa about that in just a few minutes. But right now, Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business is on a phone line. Frank, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. So I am wrestling with myself because, you know, we've both been in this business a long time. And, you know, I think that we're probably both pretty good at sniffing out when someone is doing something for publicity, you know, to get coverage. But also, they're doing exactly what I've been saying they should be doing for a long time. And I bring that up in the context of these businesses that are announcing bonuses or increases in salaries or benefits and all saying it's because of the new tax cut plan, which is great. It should be. And Chase is the latest to do that. They are going to increase their hourly wages, increase lending, and increase charitable giving. Now, they made the announcement this week in order, you know, it's good publicity for them. I will say I like what Chase is doing because they're actually increasing hourly wages for workers, where we've seen some other businesses give one-time bonuses. And it's all good, but the hourly wage increase is sort of forever. The bonus tends to disappear after a while. But so tell me about Chase, right? They're the latest to say they're going to step up and pay their workers more.
Yeah, and this is a very savvy way to look at this, Steve. I think, to your point, there are some businesses that, you know, have recycled previous announcements of increases and pegged it to the tax bill, because the tax law, because they want this to be, you know, well received. They want to get this boon, and so they're kind of scrambling with anything they can to throw out there. Now, the Chase situation does appear to be somewhat different, seems to be pretty genuine, because they had a previously announced plan to raise their hourly wages $15 an hour. And by 2019, okay, this is before the tax bill. Mm-hmm. So now after the tax bill, they've accelerated that raise, and they've increased it to $16.50 an hour, and that's starting February 25th. So it's about a year in advance, and it's about $1.50 more per hour than they had already announced. So they have really accelerated that. They're also boosting investment and charitable giving, as you mentioned. Overall, in this market in Chicago, a little over 2,700 workers are affected. That's 20% of Chase's Chicago area workforce. That's going to get a nice raise starting next month.
And it's all good. I mean, Chase is certainly going to come back with a lot more money out of this as well. They're giving what they can to give to their workers and to give to the charity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're going to get quite a nice kickback in the tax refunds from the lower rate that's coming in for corporations. They will probably see a rate of 19% this year from 32% in 2017. So it's going to be quite a big savings for them, and they are passing some of that along to their employees.
So this is all good, right? This is exactly what knuckleheads like me have been saying, that these businesses should do, pay their workers more. And they business said, if we get a tax cut, we can do that. They got the tax cut, and lo and behold, here they're doing it.
Yeah, and it looks like they may get as much as a $7.5 billion profit increase in 2018. And this program that they've announced is a $5 billion commitment over 5 years. So they're not giving it all back, but they are giving a portion of it back to their employees and the charity.
All right. All those numbers, I'm exhausted. Let's go have lunch.
Yeah, sounds good. How about some Middle Eastern?
The Naf Naf Grill, they don't want to be Mediterranean. They want to be specifically Middle Eastern, right? They see a niche, and they're going for it.
Yeah, that's right. It's a Chicago-based chain, and it's looking to expand. They have a CEO in Paul D'Amico who is really leaning into the whole Middle East cuisine aspect. They're going to be true to three things, he says, pita, shawarma, and falafel. So all good things. They're 38 units right now, and they're going to debut two new Chicago-area locations instead of the 15 current ones here and three outside of Illinois in 2018. They're going to have 12 more corporate-owned restaurants opening in 2019, and then they're also going to start a franchising program with an aim to sell 30 locations this year and more than 100 by 2020. So they're in six states right now outside of Illinois and Washington, D.C., and all of the new activity with the franchising is going to come outside of that area.
So if I want to open
a national play.
Yeah, so if I want to open a franchise in Illinois, that's not going to work so much. But if I want to go to Wyoming and introduce them to the Naf Naf Grill, they might play with me.
Yeah, and you know, that is a great example, Wyoming, but also they're not in Washington State, they're not in California, you know, I mean, so there are some pretty populous areas that still will hopefully enjoy the taste of Naf Naf.
I got to tell you, they opened one in my town within the past year, and I got to go back because I've only been there a couple times. I like the food, it's all good. You can get some healthy food there, and but I just don't play that much. So Frank, during the headlines, I was texting my wife, maybe we'll have dinner at the Naf Naf tonight.
So they've already sold one extra meal.
Exactly.
Out of
it. You can't beat that. And so, and they're also going to reconfigure their logo or their design. Or, I mean, sometimes there's a risk of trying to get too big too fast. So I would imagine this Paul D'Amico, the new CEO, is aware of that.
Yeah, so the new logo is going to have a camel on it. Like I said, they're really leaning into the whole Middle East thing. They're rebranding to actually include Middle East cuisine in their logo. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, local chains like Potbelly, I love to get sandwiches from there. There is a path to popularity right. with these kind of things. So, but yeah, they have to be careful of growing too fast to keep up.
It's a little fascinating to me too that here we are living in quote unquote these times when you know some people are looking askance at the Middle East or we're afraid of something that represents the Middle East. And but the this sort of food, shawarma food, is really taking off. I mean, I'm thinking of the Halal Brothers as well. It's a real sector that's growing.
Yeah, and you know it's good food, and like you said earlier, you feel like you can get some good healthy options, which is important now.
Yeah, but you don't have to. I've noticed that, too. You don't have to. Tell me really quickly about Chuck Renslow and why it's significant, and I want you to do it by including the Mann's Country Bathhouse. Okay, go.
Okay, so, yeah, Mann's County was a bathhouse that Chuck Renslow opened in 1973 among many of his businesses. He was a pioneering gay Chicago entrepreneur, very well-known, one of the, you know, dozen or more, you know, great gay entrepreneurs in the city that have kind of helped
build
the Boys Town area.
He opened up 30 businesses in his lifetime. That's amazing.
Yeah, and probably best known outside the community for the International Mr. Leather Competition, which he founded.
Right, every August.
Yeah, and exactly. So
I know I'm getting into shape for it. I'm trying to get ready.
Getting the chaps out.
I'll give it a shot this year.
All right, I like it. And so, you know, he died last year, and to honor his legacy, a developer in Andersonville is naming a condo after him. So it's a 9-unit structure at 5015 North Clark Street. It'll be right at the location of the bathhouse that is now defunct, and it's going to be called the Renslow. So, you know, he's going to live on his legacy through this this new high-end condo where units are going to start around $600,000.
Good for him. We're talking about the Knopf Knopf Grill logo being loud and proud. He was loud and proud going back all the way to the 50s, so a nice thing to remember him by. Frank Sennett, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll do it again next Wednesday afternoon.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson, Steve Bertrand here. Rosa Escareño is the commissioner for the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protections in Chicago. Rosa, we just have a few minutes. I'm going to jump right in. Now, welcome to the Business Lunch. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Oh, it's a pleasure. You know, the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce does an annual survey of small businesses, and the survey results are going to be released tonight. I had an early look at them, and without giving anything away, I just wonder what you see with small businesses in Chicago. Do you see optimism growing? Do you see them becoming a little more pessimistic? Or what's the mood of small businesses out there?
You know, we are very enthusiastic. I think businesses, as you know, are the heartbeat of our city. We see, for us in licensing, we see a consistent number, certainly slight growth.
Uh-huh.
But it also, but because we don't know in terms of how long they've been, how many stay in business, it's just a little bit more difficult for us to track because we track specific licensing, but we're very optimistic in terms of what we're seeing. It's very exciting.
Do you track by geography? Are there some areas that are hotter than others? And if so, what's hot?
You know, what we track is actually activity. And so we, as you know, the mayor reduced from 113 licensing types to about 49 licensing types to make it a little bit easier for us to track and actually easier for businesses. But, you know, something that's been really great for us, and I think we're starting to get an international and national acknowledgement is our food industry, our
yeah.
retail food. Certainly also, I think technology is something that we're very, very, very happy about and hoping that we can attract some of these big companies to Chicago. But I think Chicago is very pro-technology. Certainly our restaurants are recognized throughout the world. But we have a lot of just different types of businesses popping up. You know, we see, you know, just interesting health clubs, you know, bike shops. We see a lot of areas of entertainment. And so for us, it's a little bit of a a combination of concepts. For us, anything that opens is good. Our goal is to make sure that they stay open.
Right. So let me tell you. So I would say probably 25 years ago or so, I was living in the city and I had this dream of opening a shop. It was just going to be like a little quirky food store or card store. I don't remember exactly, tchotchke store. But I walked around the city looking for spots. It was a dream. It wasn't, you know, it was sort of this. And, you know, when I'm reading some of your advice about avoiding mistakes, it seems like that's one of them, that you can't just dream about something. You've got to put in the work, figure out the business plan, get help from the city and others to make it real before you take that first step forward.
Absolutely. You know, Steve, it's so important. We want to make sure that folks that have a great dream, and if you see a lot of the successful businesses, and actually I would say the majority of them started out with a real passion and a dream about what they wanted to do. But taking a dream to reality is a little bit of a challenge, and I think what we want to make sure people understand is that those first initial steps in terms of how to get started are really critical. Just a couple of things. One is just really understanding your capacity and your financing. What is your dream? How much is that going to cost? And not necessarily that you have to have the money in the bank, but do you even have a relationship with a bank? Do you understand that there is an importance between separating your personal finances from a new business venture that you may want to start, because your finances are critical. If your business doesn't work out, your concept, and you don't have the right banking structure or financial structure, it could actually implicate you personally.
That's Rosa Escareño. She is the commissioner of the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protections. Rosa, unfortunately, we're out of time now, but I hope this is the first of many times you come and join us on the program.
Oh, I would love to be a regular, because let me tell you, anytime that we can help businesses keep them from making some of the mistakes that we see on a daily basis, if we can save one business money and additional headaches, it would be great for us.
All right, we'll talk soon. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.